Welcome to the podcast. I'm Richard McLean.
I'm Jordan Olson.
And this is Please Leave a Message. This is Season 2, Episode 5.
All right.
So I've lost track of what number that is, 20-something. So that's cool. Our website is pleaseleavemessage.com, and we're called Please Leave a Message because we have a phone number set up, and you can call in and leave us a message. And I ask people every week to call in and leave us a message, and nobody ever calls in and leaves us messages.
A one. Sketch one, people.
801-SKETCH-1.
801-SKETCH-1.
It's easy to remember.
Not even that hard.
And that's 801-753-8241. So
there you go.
And you can also find us on Instagram. We are at Message Podcast. So if we talk anything visual during the podcast that you can't see, I'll post it the day that I post the episode. So it is after Thanksgiving, but before December when mm-hmm. we're recording this. So I thought maybe we could talk about Thanksgiving traditions. You got any cool Thanksgiving traditions your family does?
Not a one. I can't think of anything. We just do the normal thing.
So I feel like we just do the normal thing, but we like just have turned it up a notch because the family's so big.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have family dinner at someone's house anymore because we just don't fit in a house anymore.
Yeah.
I think we had 56 people this year.
Dang.
A few years ago. So this is every other year. It's my mom's side of the family.
Mm-hmm.
We go every other year. And a few years ago, we had like 91 people. So we take over a church.
Oh, there you go.
You know, and we just set up in the gymnasium area and eat till we're all fat and happy. The potatoes we do in like this huge vat. And I remember, I think we've refined the process a little, but the first couple years to mix the potatoes, we were using a paint stirrer on an electric drill to mash the potatoes. Now we've got like this big, huge masher that's like maybe 7 to 8 inches across. And it's just like, brah, brah, brah. Yeah, it's good times. And we usually have like multiple turkeys to choose from that have been cooked in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Usually have like two that are deep fried. And anyway,
I'd love to try a deep fried turkey, but I've seen too many disaster videos where people burn their houses down.
You can burn your house down. My uncle is very good at it. So. We do it outside, and he usually does one that's like Cajun style.
Oh.
So it's like spicy turkey. It's really good. Anyway, this year I did, you see that little machine sitting over there on the table?
Yeah.
So that's an 8mm film digitizer.
Oh, cool.
So I went up to the eclipse
just
this summer.
A couple months ago, yeah, August. Yeah,
in August. I went up to my grandparents' house for it,
mm-hmm.
and I was digging around in their basements looking at stuff. I was there, and in a closet I found that blue box there is completely full of 8mm film.
Oh.
And it would be really fun to digitize this. And I had about half of it ready to go for Thanksgiving. And so mm-hmm. we sat and watched old home movies.
That's awesome.
At Thanksgiving. It was really fun because like some of this stuff I don't think anybody's ever even seen.
Mm-hmm.
Like they shot it, they developed it, and then probably never watched it.
Right.
And so it was like good times, everybody seeing the memories and stuff. And we did, I started a new tradition with my cousins this summer.
Mm-hmm.
We had a family reunion mm-hmm. and we were sitting around talking about stuff in there. Because I like it, but we were talking about role-playing games.
There you go.
And they're gamers, but they're mostly like video gamer
right.
type guys. Like there's a few card games and stuff they like, but they mostly play video games. And so I was talking about this role-playing game that I like, and I actually had some of the books in my car,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, well, let's play a game. And I'm like, okay, I think I can pull this off. Because I had an adventure that I had written, and so I had pre-made characters for it.
Oh, perfect.
That's what made it possible.
Mm-hmm.
So, because making characters can take a whole session.
Yeah, no kidding.
So I gave them all the characters. We sat down and played it. Now, this was a one-shot adventure. It's meant to be played in one session.
Start to finish.
And I had to leave early because I had another family reunion to get to. So we didn't finish. So we're like, okay, we're all living in Utah now, and we're all kind of close. So we can get together and actually finish this. Mm-hmm. So they got together. It took us four sessions to get through that game.
For a one shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it was really fun. I think they really enjoyed it because they said, hey, for Thanksgiving, do you think we could maybe play another one?
There you go.
So I was kind of racking my brain as to what to do for this Thanksgiving adventure. I knew I had a couple that were like Thanksgiving themed. Mm-hmm. And when I pulled them up, they were cannibalism related.
Ooh,
and
dicey.
I didn't really want to play that, especially if we were playing it at the church. It just didn't seem right.
Right.
So I was looking for another option. And 2 days before Thanksgiving, one of the game companies I follow posted, hey, we've got this Thanksgiving adventure for you. And they posted it, and it was a vampire turkey apocalypse. It was hilarious. We didn't end up playing at the church. We played it at Grandma's house afterwards, but mm-hmm. It was still really fun. I was nervous about it because there was a game mechanic that it kind of revolved around that I'd never used before. Mm-hmm. It ended up being really awesome, and I'm going to end up using that a lot more in the future.
Which game are you playing on?
So the system that is my favorite is Savage Worlds.
Cool. I have limited experience in role-playing games.
Okay. What have you played?
I played Edge of Empire for maybe a couple years now, and I just got it into Fate Core, so I've been...
Okay, so I have the Fate books. Mm-hmm. I bought those with Kickstarter. So I've got the Dresden Files one. Mm-hmm. I didn't get all the print books. In fact, I only got one. I got Fate... What's the simplified one?
Accelerated.
Fate Accelerated. Mm-hmm. And it seems like a really cool system. I've watched some podcasts mm-hmm. of them playing it. There's a portion of it that I haven't quite wrapped my head around. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those, it's like, I really want to play this.
It is nice. I've been playing Edge of Empire for a couple of years with some friends now.
And that one, I'm not even familiar with that.
Oh, the Star Wars.
Oh, okay. Okay.
They have
the current version.
Yeah, it's like Edge of Empire, Age of Rebellion. And so I think it's all the same system. They just like add stuff.
Right.
I'm not sure how much the rules change because I don't play on like, I'm not on the rules side.
Does it use like, it uses the funky dice, doesn't it?
Yeah, they have their own like the victory failure dice mm-hmm. and destiny points and stuff.
I might have a set of those because mm-hmm. I'm just a dice collector.
Yeah. So I've been playing that for a while, and then my wife wanted to, she'd been reading a lot of these like Tumblr posts about like really funny things that happen to people in D&D campaigns where they'll roll like natural 20s on insane things, and like it turns into these like really funny or like scenes or adventures, and so she wanted to kind of like play a game where those kinds of funny things happen too. So I looked for a game that I could run, and so I looked for specifically for rules light type of games, and so I ended up finding Fate Core and got it like a PDF for free on DriveThruRPG. Right. And everything, and yeah, started reading through it, and it's super nice. There's a lot less emphasis on like numbers and keeping track of stuff, and more of just like the storytelling and getting your characters into trouble so that the story's interesting. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, the thing that I haven't like, because usually to learn a game, basically what you do is you make a character, mm-hmm. and that process kind of shows you how it works. Mm-hmm. And with Fate, the way that you create the characters in Fate, the whole where you have to come up with like catchphrases and that kind of stuff,
yeah, the aspects,
mm-hmm. yeah, that I get it, but I don't get it. Mm-hmm. kind of a thing. I think I need to play a game with somebody to really wrap my head around it. That's how Savage Worlds was too. I had been listening to a lot of role-playing podcasts mm-hmm. and I was hearing about this one a lot, Savage Worlds, and it just sounded really cool. Mm-hmm. I wanted to try it out, and I knew that nobody was going to run the game for me. I'm like, all right, I guess I'll get my feet wet and become a GM. Mm-hmm. And so that's how that started. But it's really cool because the core book is only $10.
Yeah.
It's a generic system, so you can play anything mm-hmm. with it. And there's tons of settings for it.
Nice.
So like if you want to play Planetary Romance, you can play Planetary Romance. If you want to play Weird Wild West, you can play the Weird Wild West.
Cool.
If you want to play post-apocalyptic Twinkies that have come to life through radiation, there's a system for that too.
That's awesome.
And so I have literally sunk a ridiculous amount of money into books at this point because I'm like, oh, that sounds cool. I'll get that one too. Last week they launched a Kickstarter for the Flash Gordon.
Oh, I think I saw something online about that.
Yeah. Official Flash Gordon setting for That's Savage cool. Worlds, which is going to be really awesome.
Well, speaking of introducing people to RPG over Thanksgiving break, I did the same thing for my little brother.
Nice.
Yeah, so being kind of new to this, I've kind of talked to him about it and told him about it, and he thinks it, you know, it sounds really cool, whatever, so he jumped in on the current campaign we're working on, and then I specifically planned a separate one-shot that he could try. Right now we're playing like a fantasy campaign, and I set up like a little superhero one-shot for him to try, and he got really into it, and so like the whole break we were talking about this RPG game we're playing, and my parents like never having grown up with this or talk about it whenever. And we're like, okay, we're gonna go play our RPG. And they're like, okay, have fun with a rocket propelled grenade. All right, like, it's whatever. So I guess I haven't done a lot of creative writing, so this is kind of an interesting outlet for me to like write adventures and try stuff out. And
so Fate looks like it takes or deals with pulp action quite well. Is that kind of the pulp fiction, like 30s, 40s?
I think it is an open system.
Right, it's a generic system, yeah. But like as far as like that style of storytelling, that's kind of over the top.
I guess so. Could you give me like an example? Not like following what you're saying.
Okay, so pulp fiction is like just the cheap rag novels on the cheap paper that they sold in like the 20s and the 30s.
Yeah.
So it was stories about, it was like the precursors to superheroes. So like the Phantom, mm-hmm. or Zorro, or gangster stories, mm-hmm. Or the genre that's planetary romance, like John Carter. That's what planetary romance is. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of pulp fiction, where it's a little bit over the top, based in reality, but it's not really grounded in reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say so. It's, I think because it is so loose that, you know, that you're not keeping, you know, there are very few numbers you have to keep track of. So like you're not keeping, you know, track of how much money you have or how many like hit points or whatever, like because it's less concrete, then there's more freedom to kind of try things or do things, whatever. You know, I've had like one of the people I play with will like make trank darts and just have like infinite trank darts. I don't know. It's like, right. It's like so over the top. And like you have this many trank darts. So like, okay, you know.
So that I think is a personal style of play.
Mm-hmm.
So like the first group that I played D&D with, they were very by the book,
mm-hmm.
by the rules. At the end of a battle, they would count up how many arrows they still had left and how many they were able to recover. And they kept track of that kind of stuff. And when they gave out loot and stuff, they did it very much by the book. Everybody got something that was appropriate for their character. Mm-hmm. And then you got the amount of gold or whatever that you found was based on your XP level. I mean, it was very by the book.
Wow.
The next group that I played with, his was way more loosey-goosey than that. And we're both groups were playing Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of a GM, just kind of a preference. I wouldn't want to keep track of all the stuff you have and how much it weighs and, mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. That's just not fun for me.
Right.
The reason I asked that about Fate is because Savage Worlds is also very good at that style of mm-hmm. kind of pulpy action. That's a lot of their settings are kind of set in that kind of a...
Over-the-top silly?
Just, it can be silly, or it can be like a lot of their settings are horror settings.
Okay.
Their main setting. So the evolution of Savage Worlds was that there was a game called Deadlands, which is a weird Wild West setting. Mm-hmm. So it's an alternate history. Its history is the same as ours until 1876. There's this Native American who is sick of the white man and wants to get rid of him. And so he calls upon basically demons to help him, and all hell breaks loose, basically.
No pun intended.
So the four servitors are like the four horsemen of the apocalypse, and they come over, and it causes all kinds of crazy stuff to happen. Mm-hmm. There's this stuff called Ghost Rock, which is like coal, but it screams when you burn it, because it's the souls of the dead.
Gotcha.
And the concentrated souls of the dead being released, and it burns way hotter than coal, and so like there's all this steampunk kind of technologies that go on. It's a really fun setting. The game was Deadlands, and then they created a game called The Great Rail Wars, which was a tabletop war strategy type game where you had like the little miniatures and everything and mm-hmm. take turns. And then they took those rules and they adapted them to a role-playing game, which became Savage Worlds. And then so the first setting they made was Deadlands, and they called it Deadlands Reloaded because it's a different rule set. Mm-hmm. And the tagline is Fast, Furious, Fun. Mm-hmm. So that's what I really liked about Savage Worlds is it plays very fast.
Mm-hmm.
Like battles in Dungeons & Dragons can really drag on sometimes,
mm-hmm.
and that doesn't happen in Savage Worlds. Savage Worlds is my favorite, and I end up talking about it way more than I probably should.
No, it's cool. I'll have to check it out.
But yeah, I highly recommend it. It's one of my favorites. So we like to feature some found audio. So I asked Jordan if he had any, and he found some for us.
I did. So when Richard asked me to look for some found audio, I tried to think about, I don't know, you're asking for like vinyls or cassette tapes or whatever.
Just unusual, rarely heard of stuff.
I was thinking about some of the first cassette tapes that I ever listened to as a young child. And the first and only one that came to mind was this cassette tape that my dad had. And this is probably like mid to late 90s, probably. But it's a bunch of parody songs about the Utah Jazz from, like, you know, based off of, like, classic rock tunes, like, you know, the Beatles or, like, stuff like that. And so they have songs about John Stockton or Karl Malone or how great the team was back then or whatever, you know. Now they're all used car salesmen, whatever. But so this is a song from that album. The album is called Get Extra Jazzed, and it's called Karl Malona.
He's number one. He's number one and having fun. It's Karl Malona. And no, it's not a mystery, at least not to me. He'll always be our MVP. It's Karl Malona. He's never gonna stop or give up. Hardly missed a game. He's always near the top, up on top. Don't forget his name. MVP, MVP. Karl Malona.
We went to, speaking of sports, we went to Topgolf for an Elder's Quorum activity.
Cool.
Which was fun. Golf is one of those sports that I've always felt like I should play just because of the Scottish, you know, in me. Mm-hmm. My uncles all play. My grandfather plays, but my dad never played. Mm-hmm. So it's like I went to a 3-par course once, mm-hmm. which was fun. I'm really good at mini golf.
There you go. There's something.
But, you know, the Topgolf was a little different. So that was fun. But I found myself the non-sports guy at a sports activity.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got there, like, two companies were there having their corporate parties, and they'd rented out 2 whole floors.
Oh, geez.
And when we first got there, they were saying, well, it's going to be a 2-hour wait before we can get you in. And then there's this guy, one of my neighbors, he's like, well, I'm going to go talk to him. He goes, and he's gone for maybe 5 minutes. He comes back. He's like, all right, they can get us in 20 minutes.
Cool.
And they're like, you turned on the charm, didn't you? You were talking to a girl, weren't you? And he's like, well, of course. And so, yeah, we were waiting to get in. And so we were just sitting there in, like, a little restaurant area. And there's, like, TVs everywhere with sports on. And everybody was sports talk. And I'm just like, I don't know what I've gotten myself into. Have you ever watched the IT Crowd?
Maybe a little bit.
So there's a couple episodes because they're the IT guys. They're not in sports at all. There's a couple of them where they're, like, at a sports pub and they're in the middle. And the thing they say is when they're trying to, like, blend in with the sports guy, the one guy will say, did you see that ludicrous display last night? And everybody else is like, oh yeah, and they just go on about it, and then he can just kind of fade in the background. So I found myself amongst all these sports people, and I just couldn't help myself. I said, did you see that ludicrous display last night? And I think in my mind I was thinking, okay, this is gonna out some other nerd in the group that I can talk to because he'll get the joke.
Yeah.
And no, they like turned to me and they're like, no, what happened? And I was like, oh crap, now what do I say? Because I'm kind of mocking them. And right then, somebody walks up and says, your pod is ready. You can go out now. And so I was saved by the fact that our golfing pod became available. So, it was kind of funny.
There you go.
Oh, man. We started this podcast a little over a year ago, and I tried to put together an anniversary show with my co-creator, Jess Smart Smiley. Mm-hmm. But this is his busiest time of the year, which, thinking back on it, I was like, why did he think he could start a podcast this time of year? It's his busiest time of year. So he came, he did two episodes with me, and then he would call me every week. Oh, I can't make this next one. I can't make this next one. And then after a few, he was just like, I can't make this work. So, and I was like, well, I still want to do it. So I'm still doing it. And so I tried to get him on for an anniversary show. I'm like, okay, I can get you in for one episode. We can do an anniversary episode. We can talk about the podcast and how it's done and the kind of traffic we're getting. And just, it would be just a little fun anniversary episode. Mm-hmm. And I had him scheduled to come, and he canceled on me because he had some other thing going on. So we have a guest that's coming in his place.
Oh, yeah.
So Jess, because he couldn't come, he sent his... how is this guy related to him?
I think he said that he was his evil little brother.
His evil little brother.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, yeah. Well, why don't you, like, open the door and let him in?
All right. Well, let me get up and come on in.
Well, hey, everybody. It's me.
Well, you got to tell him what your name is.
It's me, Les Smart Frowny. Jess Smart Smiley's evil little brother.
Okay. What should I call you?
Frowny, Evil Jess, Nega Jess. The Krampus of the Provo Comic Jam, whatever floats your boat.
Okay, well, why don't you tell us a little about yourself?
So, being the evil little brother of Jess Smart Smiley, it's my sworn duty to destroy everything that Jess has created.
Oh, have you destroyed anything recently?
I've tried doing things. I've tried leaving negative reviews on his books, but nobody reads reviews anyways, so I try to start comment wars. Also doesn't work, because who reads the reviews of books? They just get books. I've tried going back into his originals and drawing mustaches and swear words in the pages, but if their originals are already in print, so it didn't do anything. I don't really have a planning committee or something, so, you know, it's a work in progress, but...
Okay. What do you think about this podcast that just started with me?
I'd say, you know, podcasts? There's so many podcasts. Too many podcasts. What were you thinking, Jess? Podcasts? Really?
Well, he bailed on me after two episodes, so maybe you ruined it for me.
If there's credit to be taken, I will take it.
So I noticed on the site where we post the podcasts, they're implementing some new data points that I can look at. The place that we're downloaded most is in Japan.
Ah!
What do you think about that?
Well, I think that's 本当に素晴らしいだな。まあ、日本でどうぞよくありがとうございました。聞いてくれてありがとうね。
Wow. I didn't realize that Les Smart Frowny spoke Japanese.
そうだよね。
A man of many talents. All right, Frowny, is there anything else that you want to share with us?
Oh, well, you know, it's a good day to try to destroy Jess Smart Smiley. Every day is a good day to try to bring down him and everything that's good in his life.
So I know that Jess does listen to the podcast, but he's usually like really far behind.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you tell us your next evil plan, and then by the time he listens to it, you will probably have succeeded already.
I'm going to hijack the Orem Comic Jam, and I'm just going to take over. I'm just going to slide. I tried in November, but Mitch was there to swoop in and stop it, so I'll have to swoop in another time and try to just overthrow Jess and start my own following, the Orem Comic Jam with Les Smart Frowny, and we'll make comics. It might just be the same thing, but we'll kick Jess out, so you better watch out, Jess.
Alright, well, thanks for stopping by and visiting us.
Yeah, well, if anything to destroy the work of Jess Smart Smiley.
Well, it was great, because we couldn't get Jess on, so you know, thanks for taking this place.
Anytime.
A very interesting...
What a weirdo.
Our mm-hmm. guest speaker. But at least he could come on the show.
At least he made time for it. You know, he had some really good points there. It's okay, Jess. I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. It's cool how... I don't know how recently it's been, but there's been, like, this huge resurgence in, like, getting vinyls. Like, vinyl versions of, like,
right.
current records.
So...
It's pretty tight.
That's been kind of interesting. So... I have some theories about that. Well, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
So for me, I always have enjoyed vinyl, and there's something tactile about it. There's something, the fact that you have to listen and then get up and then flip it over and then listen. Mm-hmm. That's just, that isn't there. There's a closeness to the music that isn't there when you're listening to like digital music, because mm-hmm. you can just stream it and pick it from a list, and there's, you miss some of that interaction, I think. In my head, there was a time when people would buy the music and then they kind of get together and they throw it on. They'd listen together and mm-hmm. enjoy it together. And now everybody listens to everything on headphones, mm-hmm. which is just like the crappiest way to listen to music. You know, it's even into like the late 80s, people were like, they really cared about the quality. Mm-hmm. And like you would try to buy the best hi-fi equipment you could get your hands on, or even build your own. Mm-hmm. And that has been missing from music for a while. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's a little bit behind the resurgence. Like when I go to a record store and I'm digging through crates, there's something just tactile about it, and it's cool to be with other people, mm-hmm. Especially if you go with friends and you can be like, hey, look, I found, oh yeah, that's cool, look what I found, kind of thing. Like, even when I go to a music store, like a used music store, if they've got, I've never enjoyed flipping through CDs. Mm-hmm. That's just, there's something, I don't know, it's just never been as enjoyable to me as flipping through records for some reason. Gotcha. I can't really explain it. So if even now, if I go to a used music place and if they've got like 5 racks of LPs and then like 100 racks of CDs, mm-hmm. I will go through every single LP and then I'll just kind of glance mm-hmm. over and kind of walk by the CDs. I don't care to flip through them all. There's just something that's not as, and I can't really put my finger on exactly what that is.
Gotcha. So it's less about like actually, I mean, I guess you mentioned part of listening to it, but it's more of like the discovery.
Well, yeah, that's part of it. But I find that listening, like if I've got something on record and I've got it on a CD and I've got it digitally, I enjoy it more when I'm listening to it on the record. Mm-hmm. And the record does have a bit of a different sound to it, because unless it's newer stuff. So like I got this the other day, Neon Trees Picture Show, which I believe is their second album.
Okay.
I went to, they have a thing here locally called Creative Collaborative, and it's creative people that get together, and then they have a speaker each time, somebody from the creative world, mm-hmm. so like a local painter or a local musician or something, and they just talk about what they've done or things they've done to help themselves in business. Mm. And it's a kind of a way to boost yourself, you know, learn from other artists, but then also afterwards there's a little bit of networking that goes on. You get to know other people in the local art community. Mm-hmm. So they had Brandon, I can't remember his last name. Anyway, he's the bass player for the Neon Trees.
Oh, cool.
So he spoke, him and his wife spoke, and it was just kind of fascinating to hear. The title of their talk was How We Jumped Off a Cliff Without a Parachute and Survived. And it was just how they kind of just jumped into doing the Neon Trees thing. And
it's awesome.
And with no clue that it would take off like it did. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just they wanted to do it, and so they did it. And kind of the sacrifices that they did. Anyway, I won this there.
Oh, nice.
Which I was really stoked about when they pulled my name out of the hat, because I don't win things.
I feel like that's how everybody feels.
But I got this, so I was really stoked. When you get newer vinyl, I don't have a lot of newer vinyl. Most of my stuff is old, mm-hmm. because that's what I can afford.
Makes sense.
I can go to the DI and I can buy something for a buck. Mm-hmm. I typically don't go into the music store and buy a brand new LP for $20 to $40.
Right.
And you'll find that newer records sound closer to the digital component. It's because of how they master them. Mm-hmm. And so newer records are like having a CD on a record. But older records, if you compare like the CD to the record, there's a vast difference in sound. Mm-hmm. And I prefer the LPs typically. Even though technologically the CD should be better, it's got a lower noise floor, a better signal to noise ratio, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But there's just a difference in the sound that I like more on the LP.
Yeah.
So I've been really happy with the resurgence in vinyl, as you can see.
Yeah, no kidding.
There's a lot of it here. I obsessively organize my stuff. Mm-hmm. So these aren't necessarily in an order, mm-hmm. but I have all of this stuff on a spreadsheet.
Oh, there you go.
And so because of that, I know that there are just shy of 2,000 records.
Right here.
Right here.
Well, I'm not surprised. That's awesome.
Anyway, let's play a song off the record.
Sweet.
Yeah, super dig that. That was nice.
That was amazing.
Take that, Christmas music.
So that was Tijuana Christmas off of the album Tijuana Christmas.
That was good stuff.
I love the cover. It's this mariachi guy playing a trumpet. It's
covered in snow.
It's covered in snow. It's amazing. It's the Border Brass. That's the name of the band.
Nice.
I'm on a Facebook group where they talk about just strange and unusual music. Mm-hmm. Mostly they talk about, like, the main focus is exotica. You know what exotica is?
Maybe.
It's a style of music from, like, the 50s and 60s. It's kind of a lounge music kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Has kind of a, there's, like, bird calls in it, and it's kind of, it's a little bit corny, cheesy, and they use, like, a lot of, like, what would be considered native styles, a lot of drum kind of stuff or percussive kind of instruments. Anyway, but somebody had posted a picture of this album, and I'm like, oh, I've got that. And somebody else said, I would like that album, except every single track on it uses the same shtick as Whipped Cream, where it starts out kind of sounding like normal Christmas song, mm-hmm. and then it goes bump, 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 and then it goes into the Tijuana style music.
Yeah.
And when I had listened to it, I hadn't even noticed that. So I went back and listened again. Probably 80% of the tracks do that exact same thing on every single song. Yeah. But you know what? I still like it. All right. So I thought maybe we could talk a little bit about recent media that you have consumed.
Recent media that
I've consumed. So been in any movies lately?
The last movie I saw was Thor Ragnarok.
Okay, I saw that.
Actually, technically, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Last movie I saw was Thor Ragnarok.
Okay, what'd you think of Thor?
Man, that was so good.
It was so good, wasn't it?
Such a good time.
It was so fun. It was hilarious. And a lot of people are saying, oh, that's my favorite Marvel movie behind Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm.
You know, I think it's my favorite Marvel movie.
Oh, wow.
Above Guardians of the Galaxy.
It's really funny.
And I watched it, and then I'm like, okay, it has kind of that same feel as Guardians of the Galaxy. So I'm going to go back and watch Guardians of the Galaxy, and I did. I went back, I watched number one and number two,
mm-hmm.
and then I watched number one again, and then I watched number two again, and I said, nope, I still think Thor Ragnarok's my favorite.
Yeah, it takes a lot for me, kind of, when I watch a movie, it takes me a long time to want to see it again. Like, if it's too fresh in my mind, then I get bored watching it. It's like, oh, I've just seen this, I don't know what's going to happen, whatever. But I saw it, like, opening weekend, and then I just went back and saw it Thanksgiving, because it was that good, and I was really excited for my other siblings to see it too.
That's so awesome.
It was really good.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. The because here's I think why I liked it so much, and I just thought of this right now as we were sitting here. I grew up loving comic books,
mm-hmm.
so even before I was, like, old enough to really have a lot of comic books, I had comic books.
Mm-hmm.
One of the very first comic books that I had was a little digest size thing that I bought at the grocery store, kind of the Archie comics style, but it was a Superman comic.
Cool.
And it had a whole bunch of Superman stories in it. So it had a Mr. Mixcoplix story. It had a Solomon Grundy story in it.
Mm-hmm.
It had a Gorilla Grodd story in it, I think. So it had, I don't know, maybe half a dozen or more stories in it. Superman, I read that thing till it fell apart. And then I had, like, all these comics. I don't even know where they came from. I had some Smurfs comics that I'm sure my parents got for me. I had a little Lulu comic or two. I had some Richie Rich comics.
Mm-hmm.
I had Super Goof.
There you go.
I loved my Super Goof comic book. That's another one I read till it fell apart. Because I was a big Disney guy. I was really into Disney movies and cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
And so having a Disney comic book I thought was really cool.
Oh.
So, and then I got into superhero stuff when they killed Superman. So they killed Superman off, and oh man, that's crazy. And it was actually after the fact that I got into it, because I was with my mom somewhere, and there was a collected volume.
Mm-hmm.
It was the Death of Superman graphic novel.
Mm-hmm.
So I got that, and I read through that. And then I was at that same place maybe a month later, and they had the next collected volume, the World Without Superman.
Mm-hmm.
They did Superman comics for a year with no Superman in it. and the storyline was called A World Without Superman,
mm-hmm.
which was actually really good. So I read that, and then about that time is when I started going to comic book shops to pick up the next issues.
Mm-hmm.
And I had Superman, I had a subscription to all four Superman titles for maybe a year and a half.
Wow.
And then I went on my mission. So there was all that. And then I would go to comic book shops, and I would pick up stuff here and there and there and there. Marvel comics were never fun for me.
Hmm.
Like, I picked up a few, and I would literally fall asleep every time I tried to read a Marvel comic. But DC comics speak to me.
Hmm.
I love them. I'll read them over and over again. And I think, because not only, they might have like serious stories, like the death of Superman was a pretty serious story.
Yeah.
But overall, as I'm reading comic books, they're not written to be serious. Mm-hmm. You know, they're written to be fun. They're something to enjoy. And I think that's what Thor did for comic book movies, is it brought the fun back into it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really did not take itself too seriously.
Nope.
But it wasn't in such a way that it was like, it would turn you off from enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just really fun. That's why I liked Thor. Have you seen Justice League?
I have been meaning to. I've heard a lot about it, and I've mostly just heard the things that were wrong with it.
So I
have reserved judgment on.
I don't like to look at reviews until after I've seen a movie. Mm-hmm. That's just kind of a personal thing of mine. Because then I form my own opinion first. Mm-hmm. Then I look at what others say, and I can either go, yeah, or no. And for the most part, I've really hated what they've been doing with the DC movies.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kills me, because those are the characters that I read. Those are the books I bought. Those are the books I had subscriptions to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Christopher Nolan ones I liked, but they were definitely on the heavy.
Oh, super heavy.
Super heavy. And because they were so popular, they're like, oh, we got to do that to all of the DC characters.
Right,
and I'm like, no. Batman's the heavy in that universe.
Yeah.
You know? And so they did that to Superman, and I was just like, that's not why I like Superman. Superman's my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's who I had a subscription to, was Superman.
Right.
Like, I like Batman, and everybody's like, oh yeah, Batman's better, but I like Superman. I like the Boy Scout. I like, he's just a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so they make him kind of emo and whiny, and I didn't like that so much. So I've really not liked what they've done with the DC movies. Wonder Woman was an exception.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman was really good.
Wonder Woman killed it.
And then I was hearing really, so I don't read reviews, but you see headlines, and I was getting the impression there was kind of mixed feelings about it. So I actually, because I don't like Zack Snyder. I don't like his style of filmmaking. I think it's a lot of flashy show and not a lot of substance.
Right.
And I think that I've heard him talking about not just DC characters, but I've heard him talking, heard things that he said about Marvel characters. And I'm just like, you don't get these characters. You've got this twisted view that just doesn't match up with my worldview at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't really like what he's done with them. And his visual style is like, I don't like, there's a grittiness to it. And I love over the top action that's just ridiculous over the top action. Like,
oh, yeah.
I love the Fast and the Furious series.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's great fun. And like every movie, they're just like, okay, what can we do that's just more ridiculous than what we did in the last movie?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to the next two, right? But Zack Snyder's over the top, for some reason, it just rubbed me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So I went into Justice League. I wasn't even going to see it in theaters, but we got this group of guys in the neighborhood. And once in a while, a group email will go out. All right, we're going to a Tuesday $5 movie together.
There you go.
And so they were going to see Justice League, so I went to go see it with them. And I literally went in, I'm like, I'm gonna hate this thing. I went in wanting to hate it. I didn't hate it.
Oh, good.
I didn't hate it. It's not perfect. It's more fun than a lot of the earlier ones were, but it still had like that gritty feeling to it that just kind of rubbed me wrong. And some of the action scenes, it was like, there was one shot in particular, the special effects, I was just like, really? How much did you pay for that? Because it looks like garbage.
Is it the mustache thing?
It's not the mustache thing. I didn't notice the mustache thing at all.
Okay.
I did not. In fact, I had forgotten about the mustache thing. I'd read about it,
mm-hmm.
and then I had kind of put it out of my mind. And when I watched the movie, I literally didn't notice that at all.
Oh, good.
And then I saw an article today. I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard about it, so I feel like I'm going to like try to pay attention to it when I see it, but...
Well, one of the guys that worked on the special effects was posting stuff on Reddit, and he said there's one shot that's like really bad, and he doesn't know how that got through the pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of the shots were okay. And if they had pushed it to a 2018 release, nobody would have noticed.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the other part of the thing that was funny. They did some tests for Warner Brothers offered to pay to put a mustache onto him in the other movie that he was in so that he could shave and be in Justice League.
Because
that's easier to do.
Yeah, that's what everyone was saying. Like, it would have been so much easier to put a fake mustache on him.
They
did. Movie.
They took scenes from Superman and they gave him a full mustache and beard and said, see, this is so much easier. We'll even pay to do the special effects in your movie if you'll let him shave to be in our movie. And they wouldn't budge. So.
Oh, man.
it's kind of crazy. And but he did say there's one shot that's really bad, and the rest are mostly okay. But that's coming from a special effects guy. And I know that when I'm doing animation and stuff, I'm way more keyed into it and mm-hmm. notice stuff. So the fact that I noticed that one shot, maybe there were two, where I just thought, man, it was supposed to be the sweeping shot that like traveled, and like I could see the layers as it was coming in, mm-hmm. and it's just it looked like little cutouts.
Yeah, like the
instead of looking like it was flying in over a place. Gotcha. Anyway, so that's that. I've seen a lot of movies recently, actually. Kind of weird. I go for like these long periods where I want to see everything and then I don't, and then mm-hmm. I have these short compact periods where I end up seeing a lot of movies. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I obviously love movies.
Yeah, no kidding.
There are a lot of movies in here, and that's just the ones that I have physical copies of. Mm-hmm. I've also got a lot of just digital ones. Nice. Anyway, let's see. Did you see War for the Planet of the Apes?
I have not. I saw that's the third of the new Planet of the Apes.
Right.
I saw the first one in high school. I went into it like, oh man, this is going to be like, I'm going to go into like make fun of this movie with my friends. And I was like, oh wait, that was actually really good. But since like being away from those friends for so long, like haven't been like back into the other two movies.
I've got the originals right there.
I noticed
and I've got the Tim Burton one. I liked the Tim Burton one, and I wish that it hadn't bombed so badly and they could have done more with it, because mm-hmm. I mean, obviously it wasn't perfect, but that's the thing. I don't think every movie has to be perfect.
Yeah.
I like crappy movies as much as I like good movies. And mm-hmm. so when I hate a movie or dislike a movie, then there's something seriously wrong with it. Zack Snyder.
We know you're listening.
Okay, so yeah, I liked War for the Planet of the Apes. It was really good. Mm-hmm. I really like Woody Harrelson in like everything I ever see him in. There's just something about him.
Yeah, he's fun to watch, especially in those Now You See Me movies.
Which I also watched recently.
Okay, my one thing, I loved both of those movies, but it made me so mad that they called the first one Now You See Me, and then they called the second one Now You See Me 2.
Now You See Me Again?
Or no, they missed a complete perfect opportunity.
Or Now You Don't?
Yeah, Now You Don't. Now You See Me, Now You Don't. Come on! So great.
I had that same thought. I really did.
Those are really cool movies. I love those movies.
Yeah, they're good. There was one shot in the second one that bugged the heck out of me.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe it was the first one. So it had been a really long time since I'd seen the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a really good deal on buying the second one.
Nice.
And I was going to sit down and watch it. And my wife was like, should we watch the first one? Because I don't remember it at all. And I'm like, I'll let you choose that. And so we watched it. And I was really glad that we did, because I literally didn't remember anything about it. Mm-hmm. And I would have been really lost on the second one. There's a shot, and because we watched them right next to each other, I don't remember which movie it's in, where they're doing some magic on stage, and there's some obvious CG stuff going on. It's when they're revealing the machine, and there's the cloth flying around it.
Is it when they go into the safe? That's in the first one.
I think mm-hmm. it's the first one.
Yeah,
that piece of CG bugged the heck out of me, because
mm-hmm.
I'm like, do something that you can actually do.
Yeah,
to reveal it, you didn't need to rely on that obvious CG.
Mm-hmm.
If it had been really good CG and I hadn't noticed, it wouldn't have bugged me.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that I could tell it was obvious CG, mm-hmm. it bugged me.
That was, that scene also, like when, because they put the guy in the machine and then it like smashes him.
Right.
And I was like, whoa, how did they do that effect? And then it was like, oh, it's actually like CG. I was like, well, I was hoping it'd be like actual stage, like prop effect or something. Like for this movie, you know, if they're like performing on a stage, like they wouldn't have the ability to do a CG, like smash a guy or whatever kind of thing. So I was kind of disappointed that didn't end up being a practical effect. But
which it could have been.
Yeah.
My wife works with a magician right now, so I'm just...
Have you seen the show, I'm just thinking about it and then I blanked on the name. It's like Breaking the Magician's Code.
Oh, I've heard of it.
I saw some of it on Netflix. I don't know if it's still on there. That is a fun show.
I just saw that title the other day and I was intrigued,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't have time to watch it.
They have some like show magician in Vegas or whatever who wears a mask to hide his identity. I think this is from like the 90s or 2000s or something, but he goes through and like shows you how to do all this like big stage magic. Like he'll do some close-up magic, like here's how to do this trick or that trick, but he does like large scale like stage magic shows, and the secret to every trick is to have a very small assistant who can fit into tight areas or tight boxes or whatever. That's literally every trick.
So I've always liked Penn and Teller,
mm-hmm.
because that's what they did. They were, that was their shtick for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it still kind of is, but they do enough other stuff now that you don't notice it so much.
Mm-hmm.
Every time they had a TV special, they were revealing some piece of highly guarded secret in the magic community.
Yeah.
But they had a reason for doing it because they were just trying to push the art further.
Yeah.
So they were like, okay, we're going to show you the really typical stuff so you know how that works. So that magicians, if they want to continue doing those kind of tricks, they'll have to come
step
up,
it up. Yeah.
They'll have to step it up, come up with a new way to do it. Mm-hmm. And have you watched their show?
The Fool Does?
Fool Me?
Yeah, Fool Me. Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that?
I've seen some clips. Yeah, it's really cool.
So I ran across a clip on that because I don't watch network television at all.
Same.
So I had run across a clip on that, and then I watched every single clip that I could find online, and I love that show. And in one of them, Penn was saying, a lot of people think that we do this show so we can show how awesome we are because we can figure out everybody's tricks. Mm-hmm. But that's not why we did this show. We did this show so we could see the best magic in the world performed in front of us. And so
I'm sure, yeah, once you get that good at it, like, it's like you get bored watching. It's like, oh, I know exactly how you're doing this. Like, this watching a magic show isn't exciting because you know. So yeah, like, to bring people to you who can fool you. Like,
right. And the other thing is, I really like the end of the tricks when they're talking to them and they are using code language, the magician's code language, to explain to them what they did without revealing to the audience what they did.
That's cool.
I really dig that part of the show because I was into magic when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be a magician for a few years. And so I was doing it. When I started getting to, because my favorite stuff is the sleight of hand.
Sub school.
Coin tricks and card tricks I just love. And when I started trying to learn that stuff, I found that my hands are just slightly too small to do a lot of the stuff.
Like a cup of card or
I can't do the stuff because my fingers are too small. I can't grip the deck properly. Mm-hmm. So I can't do a lot of the stuff, but I've read a lot of books, and so I know a lot of the techniques and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so when they're talking to them, I catch a lot of those code words and things that they're saying. So and just because I know how it's done because of that, it doesn't decrease my enjoyment of watching it. Mm-hmm. Magic is cool.
Yeah.
All right. Before we rattle on too long, we should play an interview. This week's interview is with Dwayne Rosenbaum. Mm-hmm. He's a local artist, and he does a lot of restoration work on old media.
Sweet.
So I know he's involved in a project with digitizing cylinder records, and he also does a lot of photo restoration for people to preserve family history.
Sweet.
And then I know he does some audio restoration too. And so Dwayne's a friend of mine, so I had him come in, and so this is the interview with Dwayne. So we call this part of the podcast iTick. So we ask everybody the same questions, and it's to try to figure out what makes them tick. Tell us your name and what you do.
Dwayne Rosenbaum. I'm actually retired now, but what I do, I'm going to school in the animation program. I love art and animation and music.
All right. Tell us your earliest memory.
Earliest memory. 2 years old, I had spinal meningitis.
Okay.
I was on a deathbed, pretty much. I remember being in the hospital, and the doctors and nurses, I didn't know them as such at the time, but I remember people in white coming in and out of the room with needles and such. I was not in a bed. It was a crib type thing. I remember standing there, holding on the crib, rocking back and forth, and that would be it. 2 years old. Why I remember that, I don't know. Probably the trauma of it.
Okay, very interesting. All right, tell us a story from your childhood, something that's influenced your life, maybe something you haven't shared very often.
Kindergarten.
Okay.
Kindergarten age, we had a big tree out behind the playground. Other kids would go to the playground, and I would too at times, but I would go off by myself often because this tree had a knot hole at ground level. Well, not a knot hole where the roots, they split and bifurcate. Mm-hmm. And then under him was a little tunnel type thing that went into the tree. And that was like a cave. And so I would just get little sticks that were army guys or cavemen. And my imagination would go nuts with that hole in the tree. It was a predecessor because I've always had a crazy imagination. And that was the starting of it, I believe.
Share with us a piece of music that's been highly influential in your life.
A music group from Payson called the 3Ds.
Oh, I've heard of them. I've seen their records at, like, thrift stores and stuff.
When I was young, my mother used to play those. And I actually went to a little concert at Spanish Fork High School and watched the 3Ds. Now, the reason they influenced me, and I'm not pulling a specific song out.
Right.
Because they had many good ballad, folklore-type songs. Their names were Dennis, Dwayne, and forgot the other one. We'll have to put that in later. But they were the three, me and my two brothers had the same names.
Oh, okay.
So there was that connection. It wasn't intentional. It was coincidental. But the fact, well, at least two of us had the same names as the 3Ds from Payson. And they were really good.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. All right. Share with us a piece of media that's been highly influential in your life. And this can be anything. It can be a movie, a cartoon, a comic book, a painting, a game, a radio show, another piece of music, a play, a musical. Just any piece of media that's been influential on you.
The Dr. Seuss book, How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Okay.
Because when I was in grade school, I'm like you, I wanted to animate since I was that age. I would draw out of that book over and over and over and over and over. I've drawn the whole book countless times. And that was a good kickstart to my art.
Yeah.
I'll tell you an experience I had at that age. I believe it was the second grade. I did a picture. It was out of one of the books. I don't remember the picture, but I took it to my dad, all proud. And he mocked me, in a sense. He said, Dwayne, quit tracing things and saying you drew them. And then he actually got on me for it. And he tells this story. And he told me to stop doing it. And I kept telling him, no, I drew it. Oh, you did not. So finally, he got tired of me badgering. And he took it and held it up on the window and put my picture over it. And he just sat there because they were not the same size. And they were not exactly the same proportions. And that's when I finally made him a believer. I still have some of them drawings.
Nice.
To this day.
Very cool. Well, tell us about your passion and why you do it.
Animation is my passion. And when the world of 3D came out, it was like discovering new planets for, you know, for astronomer. Because it's what I always wanted. And anything 3D, I like. I like uh-huh. I just love it. I can't get enough. I just can't. I dream it. That's the I carve, you know, because right. Carving is 3D uh-huh. images. You know, I love to do sculpture, too. But above all else, taking characters, building them in 3D and animating them, that's just the top of the world. 2D also is nice mm-hmm. because it's drawing. Even though it's digital drawing, it's still drawing. And on that same note, I still love to draw and put a piece of paper on and draw another. I still like to animate the old way.
Yep.
Just for the fun of it.
It's addicting.
It is, because I get started and I don't want to stop. I'll start drawing and it's evening. Next thing I know, it's getting light outside and I don't know how, where the night went.
Yeah, the first time you see something that you drew move, it's hard to explain just how much that just like, oh, I need more of that.
It's a rush.
Yeah.
It is a rush.
Yeah, it's really,
And I'll say the phrase again, I can't get enough of it. I could do it all day, and I would not get bored.
Yeah.
I do.
Very cool. All right, Dwayne, what makes you tick?
What makes me tick is everything we've talked about. Plus, I'm an outdoors person.
Okay.
I will. I'll go up on the mountain to some property my dad has, and we've got a camping trailer up there. I'll go up alone and stay there 4 and 5 days at a time. And
that's why you never answer your texts.
Honestly, it is. It is in the summertime. In the winter, it changes because we can't get
up there.
but there is a place up there I drive to every day to check tests. But this year, I have not yet had a day where I get reception there. Last year, it was better. In fact, today, I came down this afternoon to do this podcast. And I... I get to the hot spot, and I know right where it is, and all of a sudden, bing, bing, my phone's just text after text, and I don't even dare check my email, which I haven't yet. But that is why. It isn't, I don't avoid anyone, it's just I can't get the text up there. I'm working on it. I've looked into satellite internet,
mm-hmm.
and phone. You know, I've looked into different phone options, like a tall antenna to where I can get reception with a booster on it. But I haven't been able to implement them yet. I discovered a booster about 3 weeks ago. Well, I didn't discover it. One of the owners of some other property near us had a booster. And so I took some pictures of the brand. I'm going to try that out because I'd just love to be part of the world while I'm up there and not go off the grid, totally disappear.
Sometimes it's nice to go off the grid.
It is, but then I get nervous.
Yeah.
I think, for example, I was thinking about you. I thought, gosh, is he trying to get a hold of me? I hope he doesn't think I'm ignoring him. What if he sent me 3 texts and I'm not answering? I literally go through this process, and then I get feeling nervous.
Anxious.
Anxious is the word. So I need to work something out. But at the same time, another 6 weeks and it'll be closed down. And I did not spend as much time this year as I did last year because I was building a stairway down a hillside from the camping area to the bathroom. This year, I'll often go up for a day. I'll leave early in the morning. I'll go up, and I'm a fisherman. I love to fish, so I'll get there. I'll fish just as the sun's coming up.
And sometimes he'll bring me a delicious bass.
Oh, yeah. Do you want some bass?
I'm just quoting Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh, I didn't pick up on that. But actually, I've been catching some bass.
Have you?
I
don't think I've ever had bass. I've had trout, and I love trout.
Well, you're going to now. Because I can catch bass. Wipers. It's a new breed, and it's a cross between, I forget, largemouth or smallmouth and striped bass.
Oh, okay.
And they're good fighters, fun to catch, and I've had good success with those.
Very cool.
I took Wiz a fish last summer, and it was still, it's been in his freezer ever since, because they didn't know what to do with it.
That's funny.
Well, they knew to eat it.
Right.
But he says, we don't know how to cook it. So a few days ago, I went over and cooked it. So we got that finally resolved.
You gave me some fish that one time, and they were in my freezer for a while, just because I needed easy dinners for a while, and that for some reason, thawing that out didn't seem like an easy dinner to me.
On that note.
But then we finally did, and it was delicious, and thank you very much.
Good. Those are native cutthroats.
Mm-hmm.
On that same note, I started a new thing this year. I fillet all my fish. So the next time I bring you fish, it'll be fish fillets in a freezer bag.
Oh, nice.
So that'll be easier.
Well, it was good, and we enjoyed it. I love just a pan-fried trout.
Oh, same here.
It's just, I love the, and I love the, when it's a little crunchy. Just, oh,
so good. Well, I will bring you some bass fillets.
Nice.
And they'll be good.
All right. One more question. If people want to see your work or they want to contact you or hire you out for something, how can they get a hold of you?
Roastryphoto.com. It's a website, almost done, but I haven't put it on yet because I'm tweaking it.
Okay.
Now, that does not have a lot of the things we talked about animations. But I'm glad you asked because that's my photo restoration website where I give examples of photos I've restored, which is my other passion, by the way. And restoring old audio things.
Mm-hmm.
Restoring anything old because I bring it back to life.
Right. I love doing that myself.
And That's what the website's about. I'll have people that bring me boxes of slides, and I'll scan them, and then restore this one, fix the color, which is always
drifted.
And that's what I do. And the niche I've found is I do house calls.
Oh, okay.
I'm like the doctor that does house calls. I've done this with several clients. I'll load up my scanner, my laptop, and my cassette tape deck, if necessary, and my VCR player. I'll load it all up. I'll go to their house, especially if you know, a lot of elderly people, they don't, their stuff's valuable. They don't want to let it out.
Right.
They don't have to. I will go out there. I'll set up on a card table in the back room. Bring me your stuff and I'll do it here. So that's what I do. And I've had quite a few people that appreciated that.
All right, Dwayne. It's been good to have you on the show.
Well, thank you. I loved it. It's thanks great for coming to on. Talk about.
I really appreciate all the people that come and take time and spend time with me. And we always have good conversations. So thanks for being here. And yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. So Dwayne, when he was on the show to co-host, mm-hmm. he talked about a walking staff that he's carving. And it's so detailed. It's awesome. I took a whole bunch of pictures. It's on our Instagram account. If you want to go take a look at it.
Go check it out.
Which is at Message Podcast. And just go see what Dwayne can do. He's really quite awesome. And thanks for being on the show, Jordan.
Hey, anytime.
Appreciate you coming down and taking time. I always mm-hmm. enjoy talking to people and just about whatever random stuff we happen to like. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening.